Welcome to the Rock of Ages Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Israel Soto. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit rockofagesaog.org.
Because of everything we've gone through, I know that there's a lot of people that are disappointed still. They're bruised because of everything that went on this past year. We were hurt, possibly financially. Some of us were hurt in our hearts because of illness. Others have gone through liver transplants. Just me, I guess. But we've gone through difficult things. And there was a certain sense of dismay in the hearts of many. And I have to say that maybe even in the hearts of some of God's people in the house of the Lord. But I want to encourage you this morning to look at this year nice, fresh, and new. And I believe that God has put us upon a clean slate this first Sunday of the month to look forward to a great time this coming year in 2021. It's time for us to leave things behind. People are still arguing about situations. Let them go. We are going to celebrate a new year. We're going to celebrate new blessings. We're going to celebrate new overcomings and victories. Things that you thought you would never overcome, we're going to overcome this year. We're going to celebrate. You know, this year, if I might add, forgive me for being monotonous when it comes to my operation. This coming, what is it, April? Will be a year that I had my transplant. Amen? Now, thank God for that. Yes, I'm so thankful. Now, my hips are still bad and I'm still going through stuff, but here's what I'm looking forward to. They said that when I was a year old and my anniversary, if you will, that the 80 pills that I take on a daily basis were going to be reduced to almost nothing. And I think that all this hip situation that I'm going through is all medication. And it's also, I've read a lot of the stuff that I'm taking hurts your bones and causes arthritic pains. And people complain about hips all the time. They can't walk. And so I know that I'm part of that league per se, but the joy in my heart is believing that what they said is true, and I'm going to put that in God's hands, that coming this April on the, what was it, when did I have my surgery, on the 5th, Mom? Are you leaving? I'm just starting. On the 15th? Okay. Huh? April 15th. Well, don't let me hold you back. Go ahead. On April the 15th last year, I died. For a few minutes, I died. They had to resurrect me. They had to defibrillate me and wake my heart up because when I left this place, my liver was dead, and so was I. And when they put me on the gurney, they told my wife I passed for a few minutes. Maybe that's why I'm a little whack now. But I died for a few minutes, and they instantly begged to give me stuff to revive me, and they did, and I'm still here. Praise the Lord. Amen. I think I'm here a good 95% at least. But I'm excited because it said in April the 15th, they're going to take a lot of the stuff. You would be surprised. Those of you who I've shared this with, I'll take a handful of pills. And I'm not talking about a handful. I'm talking about a handful of M&Ms, I'm telling you. 15 at a time, 3 times a day. And so my wife says, are you hungry? I said, no, I just ate. I ate a half can of pills. But I'm doing okay in surviving this well. My kidneys are doing okay. I've been retaining water. I kind of blew up a little bit because I'm retaining water again for some reason. And we're trying to fix that up. Not too worried about that. God knows exactly what he's doing. But this year, I'm expecting things to get perfect. And I'm expecting to come back 100%. You're going to see me run up those stairs instead of having Brother Rene walk me up like a 200-year-old man. But I've made it my goal to look at this year as something new. And I'm making plans of things that I want to do this year. And so it reminded me in my mind of years ago when I spoke to you on this subject. And I believe it's really relevant because I believe some of us aren't making any plans for this year, but we should. We need to press on toward the goal. We need to be goal setters. If you're going nowhere, you're going to get there real fast. But if you're setting a goal, you're going to have to wrestle with it. But the Bible says that greater is he who is with us than he that is in the world. And the Bible says that over the things that we pray, when we agree, God will fulfill those things in faith. And so I'm setting new resolutions this year. And I want to encourage you to do the same. If you'll allow me just for a moment to encourage you considering this particular topic. We've crossed this Christmas. And by the way, in passing, let me thank you so much for the wonderful gestures, the gifts, the hugs and the kisses, and the good words that you've given us, the texts that you've, the emails that you've sent me, just wishing us a happy birthday and happy Christmas and a merry, happy new year. And I want to thank you for that, for loving us the way you have every year for the past 26 of our tenure with you. But we've crossed those years now, and as thankful we are, I hope that you got what you were desiring this year. People blessed on you as much as he did on us. Resolutions. Let's talk about those just for a second. People don't like them. And there's one particular reason why people don't like them. It's because they never fulfill them. If you're like me, you'll pick up your resolution book and it still looks the same from about 30 years ago. The same things are there. Why? Because I haven't completed them. Somewhere down the road, I fell off the track and I didn't get there. And so now there's a certain animosity that we have with that book. We don't even want to look at it anymore because I was going to do that in 1995. And so why even try if I'm going to fail? But it's always good to set resolutions because it does something to you. At least it reminds you of a few things I'll tell you about this morning. But let me encourage you as I continue to speak. You haven't failed every resolution. There are things you have completed. And there's things that you can celebrate today. Look at you now. If you're like me, maybe in the past few years you have felt that maybe you couldn't continue walking with God. And you're sitting here in the house of the Lord. Amen? You didn't think you could move into that house. You didn't think you could buy that car. You didn't think you could lose that weight. But you did. Now maybe now all the resolutions that you have made, you've been able to accomplish. But don't be too hard on yourself. You have accomplished some. And the Lord has helped us, and here we are. I believe that being here this morning is a great accomplishment. Amen? I think you should give yourself an applause. Because being in the house of God is a great accomplishment. There are people today that won't come back, want to come back, afraid to come back. And again, I'm not blaming them for that. But it's a great accomplishment to wake up in the morning and say, I'm going to church. And so you're here, so I celebrate you today for that wonderful challenge that you've taken and you're here in the house of God and more people are coming. But let me tell you why resolutions are important for us. Number one, because they keep us conscious of our need of change. They keep us conscious of our need of progressing in change. Philippians chapter 3 verse 12, Paul said, not that I have already attained all this or have already been made perfect. I don't like perfect people. Do you? I don't like that individual say, well, I am what I am and I'm all I want to be and there's nothing I can. I would never change anything about me. I would say, yes, you need to change at least one thing. Your attitude. But we've not arrived. And so a resolution will take you to the place of thought when you know you need a conscious change in your life. Maybe it's character that you have to work on. Maybe it's splurging money that you have to change and work on. Maybe it's this or the other that you have to work on. But it keeps us conscious of our need to progress forward. Secondly, I believe that resolutions are important because it keeps us practicing for a better performance. The Bible says in Philippians 4 and 9, he says, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. You know why we fail at things? Because we don't practice. When you begin to practice, it becomes second nature. When you begin to practice, I'm going to pick on coming to church a lot this morning because it's important. Probably the most important thing you could do during the week is come to church and receive something from the Lord. But some of us need to practice coming to church faithfully and not drop out. And I understand there may be times that it becomes impossible. But what I'm saying, by and large, we need to practice. Make it a normal. Some of us need to practice to do things at home. Practice, even though you don't want to. Practice, practice, practice. And you'll build that consistent muscle, if you will, to be able to do these things on a daily basis. And all of us need to practice certain things in our life. Would you say amen? And thirdly and finally, resolutions are so important for us because it keeps us in mind. It keeps in our hearts the reality of our need to get better. To be better people. To be better in everything we do. Paul said, I press on. I want to move forward in who I am. You know, unbelievable as it is, I have pictures and some sermons that I preached 20 years ago that I'll humor myself and listen to. And most of the time I'm going, what? But I look at myself in the past years that I've been with you and I've changed. And I'm prayerfully telling you this, telling you that I'm hopeful that I've changed for the better. And I think all of us need the change for the better. There's always room for progress. Can you say amen? And so I say to you, do it again. Pull out your resolution book this year and say, you know, I haven't made it for the past 5 years, but this year I'm doing this again. And I'm going to begin to practice this again. Last year I came to church 6 times. This year I'm going to go to church 30 times. I'm going to go to church on church service and I'm not going to allow things to get in my way. I'm going to practice. I'm going to lift this weight that comes against me every time there is service and I think of things and the devil puts stuff in or things in my way and I say, no, I'm not going to go to church today. But practice. Make that resolution again. Make that resolution again to be helpful to people. Make that resolution again to say, you know, this year I was hardly any good as a witness unto the Lord, but this year I'm going to open my mouth and I'm going to share Christ with everyone that I meet. Resolutions. I don't know what your resolutions may be. I'm just mentioning a few here. But whatever they are, if they're going to make you better, then practice them and write them down again. Don't give up. Resolutions might be your solution. It might change your life and position you in a position where you always wanted to be. I'm going to give you a few suggestions that I believe we should write down in our resolution. Now, I won't mention some of the things that are probably more common to us. And for example, write down in your resolution, I'm going to start that diet again. How many have failed at diets? You're not even fat. Why are you in a diet? But we fail, right? I've had people say, I'm going to become a vegan, a partial vegan. And next time I see them, they got a double meat. Oh, not today, man. I'm going to start Monday. And some of us have seen us blow up a little bit, and especially this. Every end of the year, I hate it for that reason. Because I'm not supposed to eat 99.9 of the things they make, and I eat them all. So you need to start your diet again. Maybe some of you need to go back to school. That's an important resolution. You've been waiting to get that degree, and you're almost just a few hours, a few semesters off, and you're going to get that degree. Go back to school. Make that resolution again. I'm going to go back. Apply for that job again. That thing you thought you would fail. And last time you applied, they said, no, you're not ready. Do it again. Make a resolve in your heart to press forward. Start that business you wanted to start. Someone has been wanting to start some little business or the other thing, whatever. No, start the business. Press forward. It'll position you in a better place. It's a challenge, but do it again. All this has to do with resolving to do it. And this year, I believe that a lot of us have things that we have failed at, that we're not even looking at anymore simply because we failed one too many times. Well, I'm here to tell you, do it again. Tell your neighbor, do it again. Do it again. They saw you fail, but do it again. So let me give you just a couple this morning and I'll finish. I believe that in your book of resolutions, in that page of resolutions, wherever you can write them on your door, in your bathroom, your kitchen, your refrigerator, write down, I must stir a new and fresh passion for Christ. I need to stir my Christianity. I need to stir my love for God again. I believe that if we're honest with each other, please, don't be offended when I say this. All of us experience this. I really believe with all my heart, and we see it in our actions, that the love that we had for God when we first got saved is not the same love we have today for Him. Can we be honest? Now, I'm not saying you're a pagan now. What I'm saying is that you're not on fire anymore. I'm not on fire anymore. Remember when you got saved? Nothing and no one could stop you from testifying of that new love you found in Christ. You were kind of like that crippled man that the Lord spoke healing to, and he got up and they criticized him and they, who did this and how did they do this and whatever. I don't know, man, but I can tell you who he is and what he's done for me. And that's the Christianity we found when we found Christ. But now we'll go through things during the day, during the week, during the month, and sometimes during the year. And there's no fire. We're all in our hearts deep desiring to come to a church that's screaming and shouting. Let me give you a word of advice, that if you ever want to go to a church that's screaming and shouting and rejoicing in Christ, come in shouting and screaming and rejoicing over Christ. Amen? Come in, stand up and worship Him. It doesn't matter. Just you have renewed that fire for God. It doesn't matter if 30 people next to you are asleep or balancing their checkbooks, but you're on fire for God. You want a Pentecostal church? Come in with a Pentecostal spirit, man. When you're told to worship, stand up and worship. And don't hold back. Where is that fire? What turned it off? What turned it off? I remember I said something from our pulpit one day, and sister came up to me and kind of rebuked me gently, and I understood, but she was still wrong. And my wife is here. Maybe at that time I was bold because she wasn't. But I'll tell you, my wife and I have been together for 42 years, man. 43? You see how good time is? 43, I haven't even noticed that. 43 years we've been married. I don't know, I'm 35. But we've been married for 43 years. And I was preaching on this a few years ago. And again, a sister did go to my office and said, Pastor, I don't know if you should have said that. And I'm going, like, what, sister? I said, and I was talking about a relationship with Christ and relationship with people and everything else. I said, I remember when I first got married, I was head over heels. I think I said enough. 43 years, man. Am I still head over heels? I said, yeah, I still love my wife, yes. But is that flame still the same? And I think that every married person here, and ladies, please don't pinch your guys if they're being honest, because you may feel the same way. It's not the same anymore. You love each other. Yes, I love my wife. I do for her. I support her. But I remember that moment. That moment when you turn around and you shed a tear because you're so happy that you had someone in your life. But today, now it's like a business venture, if you will. And you're committed to love each other, but it's different. And when I said that, I got it bad. So I hope none of you go to my office today and get after me again because you're still wrong. Because things change, don't they? They change. And you know, in our relationship with God is the same thing. No one can tell me today here and beginning with myself that I feel exactly the same way when I first met Christ. And I'm not going to give you excuses. There should be no reason why I should not feel the same way as when I met Christ. Because the Bible says that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the same joy and flame and all these things I felt when He unloaded my heart from all my sin and saved me. Knowing exactly where I've been, what I've done, what I've said, what I thought. He loved me. And when I found out He loved me, it made me crazy. I was crazy in love. I couldn't stop talking about the lover of my soul. I said, He saw me do that. He saw me go there. He saw me, heard me say that. He knows my thought and what I thought at that moment. He knows I'm not worth His time. Yet, He loves me. He loves me. He looked beyond my sin and said, I love you. If you come to me, I'll never reject you. I said, God, look at me, man. I'm filthy. My mouth is dirty. My mind is filthy. My eyes are blind to see good. I'm angry. I'm a mean person. What? He said, come to me. Well, what? I will love you. And when I felt that love that God gave me, it's changed me now for over 30 some odd years. And I weep at times when I can sit in a pew or listen to a message, and I listen to it as if I was listening to some news anchor, and it does nothing to my soul. I heard a testimony on the testimony of Samson, those of you who know the story in the book of Judges, I believe it is. The Bible says of Samson being a Nazarene, he would not cut his hair nor drink wine that was fermented. And God gave him the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And you saw that man under the power of the Holy Spirit with a single jaw of a mule kill thousands of men. In another moment, the spur of the Spirit of the Lord, he tore down the pillars from the king's palace. In the power of the Lord, he tied the tails of hundreds of foxes and lit them on fire to burn a city down. The anointing of God. Power in the anointing of God. How many know that there is power in the anointing of God? But the Bible says this, and this is why this resolution is so important. It says, one day the Spirit of the Lord left Samson, and he did not know it. He knew not that the Spirit of God had left him. He was so in love with that woman. He was so in love. His eyes focused from God, and he loved the sweetness of her lips. And the Spirit of the Lord left him. And for us, it may not be a Delilah, but it may be Delilah in another form. You see, the lips of Delilah are sweet. The hugs of Delilah are warm. The words of Delilah are encouraging to your flesh. But it's deteriorating and destroying the relationship between you and the God of your soul. And so the Spirit of the Lord left him and he knew not. And this is why this resolution, ladies and gentlemen, has to be of great importance. And we got to try it again. To fall in love with God because he's the same. And you know his love for you has not changed. He loves you all the same. He's not like us who have been married for 43 years. He's not like us who used to work at this place and we loved working at that place. But now we like it, but we don't love it like we used to. You see, that love becomes numb because of experiences. Because of things we look at, other things that we desire. And our relationship with God begins to suffer. And God forbid that one day we become so numb to the Spirit of the Lord and so in love with the Delilahs in our life that the Spirit of the Lord will go. And that's when you become nothing but a performer. That's when you become one of the living dead in this world. Make it your resolution this year. Say to yourself, I need to fall in love with my Savior. If you ask him if he loves you, all you have to do is look at that cross and see how he willingly went up that road to Calvary without thinking twice. He had you in his mind. They tried to stop him, but he had you on his mind. And he, you think that the cross held him up, but it was his love that held the cross up in his love for us. Make it your resolution. Let nothing stop you from loving your Savior. Let nothing stop you from coming to the house of God and lifting your hands and say, Lord, we have two services a week, but I have 7 days a week to thank you and to love you and to worship you. Thank you for loving me. I still remember I was absolutely worth nothing, but you gave your life for me. Make it your resolution. Get away from the Delilahs in your life. Get away. At the end, you suffer the consequences. You lose the power that you had in the Lord. Secondly, one of the greatest commandments that God gave, it was to love each other and love others. That's hard to do sometimes. Yes? Because not everybody is very lovable. We're commanded to love others. This is all very important to God, and it should be to us. Because if you look at the heart of God, you'll find that the Lord makes no exceptions, if you will, no prejudices amongst people. This is why the Bible says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And because God loved the unlovable, we are saved today. Did you understand what I said? The reason we are saved is because God loved the unlovable. I said to you, I was unlovable. Why should I be loved if you knew who I was and the anger and the person that I was in my blood? You say, this guy's not lovable. But God loved the unlovable. And he brought us in. The Bible says that everything we did before we knew him were all as filthy rags. The Bible says of us that all of us were found in unrighteousness. But the Lord rolled up his sleeve. He saw the mess you were in. He brought you out of the miry clay. And he looked at you and the mess you are, but he washed you with the preciousness of his blood. And now you stand as one of the fine trophies of Christ. But he saved. It all began by him loving the unlovable. And so this year we need to learn to love the unlovable. And that means also that we need to reach out for the lost today. We're going to be spending time this year reaching out outside of the walls of this church. We're going to spend time reaching out, trying to get the attention of those who, whether they know it or not, are living unlovable lives. We're going to love them in. We may not be able to offer them much, but we will offer them Christ and the love of our hearts and sincerity. Love Him. Some of us may be carrying animosities over years. Some of us may be carrying offenses that somebody did to us. And you might be thinking, well, yeah, you might think that some of us may know about it, and we may not. And you're carrying it now, not only for a few months, but you've been carrying it for years. Let them go. And you'll be surprised to know that when you release those who are unlovable in your life, God will release you. And you won't have to live under that pain if you'll begin to forgive and love others. This year, I know it's difficult. There is so much hate in our nation. Can you say amen? Yeah, there is. You know, you don't even know half of the people in the United States that hate you. And they hate me. For whatever reason they have found justified, they hate people. We can't live that life. Let us write down in our resolution book again. I must be affectionate to the lost. I must love others. I'm not going to love hypocritically. I'm going to love genuinely. The book of Jude chapter 22. It speaks about being merciful. It says, be merciful to those who doubt. That's the unbeliever. They doubt why we're in church today. They doubt every word I'm saying. They doubt that there is a God. But still, God says, be merciful to them. Be merciful to those that doubt and snatch others from the fire to save them. Some of we need to get a little tough with people and let them know that unless they turn to Christ, there is a serious and eternal consequence to pay because of it. But write it down. I must be affectionate and loving to others. And finally, this morning, let us learn to love God's word. This doesn't sound very divine, what I'm saying this morning. Maybe a common saying. But what I'm saying today is that God knows that we've lost our love for His Word. If there was an honest survey today, a spiritual survey that would allow us to see with, maybe if I saw these, well, I put these glasses on and I looked and I could see the fact of the matter. And I said, how many of you read the Word of God at home? I think I would probably find a lot of people that don't read God's Word. That don't take time in the evening to read a passage of Scripture so that God could speak to your life. You've lost that love. When you were saved, you carried your Bible. I had my first Bible when I got saved. You should see it. It looked like a truck ran over it. It's so bent from the pages. It's so written on. I was in it all day. My wife will tell you, I would take lunch at work and I'd be in God's Word and writing notes down and just going and going and going. I would take it everywhere. I come home and take a shower, get ready for dinner, but she'd look for me. She'd find me in my room. Well, I don't do that much anymore. Has God's Word changed? Maybe we've just become distant. You've heard God's word. Now to you, God's word has become nothing but hearsay. I heard somebody say this. You don't know how many people I've spoken to. Said, doesn't the Bible say this? I heard somebody say this. I'm going like, do you know it says that? Well, I heard it on the radio. They said that it was. I don't care what you heard. What's important here is what you know. And some of us here, ladies and gentlemen, I want to encourage you this year, though, don't go on hearsay. Even as I speak to you as your pastor, I've always challenged you, don't believe everything I say. The Bible says that we should test every spirit. And everything I say to you, look for it in the Word of God. If it's there, believe it. If not, you know I've been fibbing you. But look at God's Word. Look at God's Word, see if it not says that you should love your enemies. Look at God's Word. If you don't find that scripture, it says, love the Lord thy God with all thy strength, soul, heart, and mind. Look for it. When I say we must renew our passion for God, it's because the Word of God says you must be renewed in love with God on a daily basis. It said, love another, one another. The Bible says if that's not one of the greatest commandments, love the Lord thy God. But then he finishes saying, love one another, which is a great commandment. Look for it. The second thing, the third thing today is love God's Word. See if God's Word doesn't say that. Go home and look for it. See if the Bible does not say, blessed are those who hear God's Word but obey it. Find out. Find out if the prophet says, his word is like honey to my lips. Find out if we're not supposed to love God's word. If his word is spirit, his word is our direction, his word is our comfort. Find out. Test it and see. Test it and see. You'll find out that it's there. Pull out your Bibles this year and begin to read. Put it in your car. Get a small one or something. But just read God's Word. You'll find out that when you come to church and you hear the words of the Lord spoken to you, it'll cause you to rejoice. Because His Word is life. Can you say amen? Resolutions. So important for us. The Bible says that His Word is quick and powerful. And we need it on a daily basis. If I can mention in passing as we close the day, I believe that one of the greatest important things that we need to put down in our resolution book this year is not only develop a new passion for His Word, but to begin and start a new passion for prayer. Yes? Prayer. You've heard me say this, and I'll say one more time, that a Christian that prays always stays. A church that prays will always stay. When you have people that fall out of their walk with God, whatever reasons they may give, I'll tell you what the true reason always is. They've stopped praying. They stopped loving God's word. When you pray, you'll always be in His presence. And you'll get away from all the politicalness, even in the church. Whatever arguments, whatever discord there might be, you're in prayer all the time over things. Do you pray at home? Some of us, I might even take the challenge and forgive me. Don't be offended. Some of us might not even pray for our meal. Not even for our meal, not to give thanks. Sit there and just go like you earned that. Instead of saying, Lord, thank you for being my provider. Thank you for putting this table before me. Prayer. Prayer is the most ill-attended service in the church. And I know it sometimes is because of job issues. But sometimes it's not. Prayer. I want us to pray this morning. As we begin this new year, we need to commit to praying. We need to develop a, a new passion for heaven, for God, for His presence. We may have failed a couple of times this past year. We may have gotten involved in things, like I said, we shouldn't have. But I'm going to try it again. I don't know if you will. Try it again. Would you try it again? I'm going to try it again. And I believe that as we try it again, we're going to see a big change in this house. A big change in this house. We've got great plans. I'm going to tell you about this coming week. Let me just mention some to you right now if I can. We are making a plan today, and I want you to pray about this. We're talking about prayer. We're going to start having one service outside. Once a month, if we can, maybe every 6 weeks, have a service and have our band play outside for a drive-by service to reach the lost. You'll be able to come and park in your cars and enjoy the service. It'll be a short sermon, but it's always going to be salvation. But the band is already working on this. We already have an engineer who has all the equipment, who's going to be placing our, we don't have to move our things up here, but he's going to set up for us outside, and we're going to have a service every 30 days or 6 weeks of the month. We're going to have a service outside and reach. And it's going to be a double service. It'll be one service in English, and we're having one service in Spanish. And let me say this to you, and maybe you've heard in rumor, but it's been several years in my heart. And I say this because it's a good time to have a resolution and pray over the things. But I want to have a Spanish service here at Rock of Ages. How many know people that need Jesus that no habla inglés? I want you to begin to invite them. We're going to give you the logistics of it. But this month will not pass before we position a Spanish service here at Rock of Ages. The worship team is going to be doing their songs in Spanish. ¿Verdad, hermano? Amen. Our ladies up here that hardly speak any Spanish at all, you will be doing worship in Spanish. Hermanas, amen. Y el pastor este que poco habla español va a hablar y va a predicar en español también para el pueblo que habla hispana. We're going to give you the times and how we're going to just superimpose this service. And it's not going to affect everything we do here. It's not going to affect the thing we do. We're just going to superimpose it and probably make it an earlier service before this service. But we'll let you know. But I want you to pray about those things. I believe that this church is going to be packed full by the middle of the year. You're going to have to come in early because you're going to have to get a chair. But that is what my staff and I have been praying on this past few months. And as weak as I am, I promise you that there are several things that want to push me back and say, you can't do it, man. You won't survive this. But you know what? If I burn out for God, that's where I want to be anyway. I want to burn out for God. And if there's nothing else I can do and to stand, it may go from here to sitting down. It may go from here to laying down. But I'm going to burn out for God. I'm going to be the fuel that God uses to light His fire in this area of our world. And I want you to begin to pray to be a part of it, because I believe that we're going to fill this church up with Hispanics, Latinos that do not habla español, inglés. And we're going to preach them and sing worship in Spanish. And then we're going to have our English service, and they're going to get excited about everything, and people are going to start coming to church. And I want everyone who's listening to me out there in our social media platforms that we have available for you, start planning on bringing your families that don't speak English. We're going to give announcements to you and let you know what times and what hours we're going to have this service. Ah, that excites me. Does that excite you? Isn't it awesome? And we're going to become busy. Why? It all begins with this, what I said, and as I close, one is that we begin to love others. And we are very capable of speaking to a lot of people today in this world who do not have a church to go to or that they enjoy going to. We're going to give them the opportunity to come to Rock of Ages y recibir a Cristo como su propio Salvador. Recibir el poder del Espíritu Santo. Saber que en la congregación del Señor y en la consagración hay poder para vivir una vida feliz en Cristo Jesús. Amén. Vamos a llenar la casa de gente de habla hispana. Vamos a traer nuestros abuelitos, nuestros tíos, y vamos a ver aquí una iglesia español pentecostal que alaba y glorifica el nombre del Señor Jesucristo. I believe that. And so I want you to pray. And I want you to believe with me. Please stand at your feet today, and as the ushers come. Hallelujah. New resolutions. I have resolved in my heart today that what I have spoken to you is something I'm going to practice. You guys can go ahead and begin to pass this meal out. I have resolved to get on fire for God. I've resolved to seek that passion that I had for the Lord. I don't have much strength to yell anymore because of all of this. But I was watching this short video I saw when I was preaching 25 years ago. Man, I was screaming my head off, and there was a lot of strength. Well, now I'm 61, a little older. But the fire of the Lord, as Jeremiah said, is still like a fire shut up in my bones. We're going to learn to love each other. We're going to learn to love His Word. We're going to learn to love to pray. I have resolved to do all these things this year. And I pray in Jesus' name that that is something you resolve to do as well. I love Jesus. Do you love Jesus? I love Jesus. Hallelujah. If there's anything that I want you to remember, is that we love Jesus. He's everything to us. We're going to love the lost and reach out this year. We're going to let them know that we're here as a church for them. One thing else that I'll mention to you while the gentlemen and the ladies are passing out communion is that we're going to start a food dispersing ministry. You know, I need to bless on you. And I'm just talking to you right now because I'm waiting for this our ushers to finish giving you the meal. But one thing I have to really give you your props for and thank you for is that, you know what? In our church, you guys are the most giving people I've ever met. Yes, you are. I'm talking good about you. Listen to me. And this is not words that I'm throwing out, but you are a beautiful people when it comes to giving. This past year, Pastor Duke and Mandy wanted to bless people with a turkey meal. And they needed help from you to bring foods. And over 200 people were fed. And it came from you bringing things. Then, furthermore, we needed a toy. We made a toy drive to bless the children in Mexico. Sister Pearl needs to get a trailer. I saw people coming into the sanctuary with plastic little, just full of stuff for the babies. And all of it, when I saw that, I said, Lord, you have such a giving people, man. Gosh, Rock of Ages, you make me cry. Such a giving people. In your tithing and your offering, we've survived and made it through because you're so giving. And I need to say this not as some kind of plug, but I need to say this because I've had this in my heart to tell you. And God just dropped it in my spirit right now in memory. And so I want to thank you that every time we want to bless on somebody, the children or people, and I say, or someone says, ladies and gentlemen, would you please bring things like this? And by the time you know, we have a room full of stuff that you bring. And that's because of how lovable and giving that you are. And I applaud you. Bravo. Excelente. Perfecto. Precioso que son todos ustedes. The Lord is going to recompense you 100-fold. So get ready and leave the pantry doors open. because someone better than Santa Claus is going to come and fill your life with joy. He's a good God, and he's worthy to be loved as when we first met him. Can you say amen? Let's pray before we take this meal. Father, we love you. Lord, and we worship you, and we thank you for who you are in our lives and all the things that you've done. This is the first Sunday of this month, and we're so thankful that we're able to be here today. Last year, Father, we failed at doing many things. You were there. We gave up doing other things. You were there. There are things we knew would help us out, and we should do these things, but we failed again. We stopped. We quit. But today, Father, because every day is a day of new mercies and blessings, we know that this year, we look at it as one bright day, that this year is going to be nothing more than blessings and mercies bestowed upon our lives. And because we know, God, that our relationship with you is priority today, Father, we choose to be resolute and to go back to those things we know were things we were supposed to do and complete. Things that we need to start doing and practicing and never quit. Father, we're going to take those challenges again. And we're going to believe, Lord, that this year we will accomplish so much more than we did last year. We're going to walk with you, Lord, and walk with us like a mighty giant that you are. We're going to leave all the Delilahs aside, Father. All the things that took our passions, and we're going to begin to focus our passion on you. And because of that, I know you will change our hearts and lead us towards greener pastures. So we love you. For the plans that I've spoken to these people, we will not do a thing unless you agree, Father. And so we wait upon your answer. You're going to bless this house with hundreds of Hispanic, non-English speaking people. You're going to fill this house in Rock of Ages with people of all walks here in this service. We're going to minister outside and reach out to those passing by. And I believe that many will stop because they need prayer and healing, and they will find Christ here. And Father, as we open that food disbursement, Lord, we're going to go out to the neighborhoods that are so in need. And we're going to give, Lord. We're going to fill boxes and trailers to go to those neighborhoods to call out the people that have no fear in their home and bless them as we learn how to love others as you loved us. All these things we commit to this day. And for today, Father God, we thank you because everything is because of you. And we are saved because of you. And this meal today, Father, as we're going to partake of it, let it remind us, Father, of all the things you've done and all the things that you will do for us. And give us the strength that we equally do for you, Lord, what your heart desires. So we partake of this meal. Let it be nourishment, Father, to our spirit, man. Let it strengthen us, Father God, and focus us on you. As I read from the Word, the Bible says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you." The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Please take the bread. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Please take the cup. Thank you, Jesus. "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And Father, we know that you will come. And Father, we know that we wait upon you. We know that this year, Father, however many months you give us of this year, or maybe the whole year, we will know, Lord, that when we close this year, we will have accomplished your heart's desire. as a church and as families. We give you thanks for reminding us what you've done for us. Let us never forget. In the name of Jesus, I speak blessing over every household represented, over every family, church member, friend that is watching us over our social media platforms. We bless them right in their homes as they are right now. Bless them. Let them feel a part of all of this that's going on here in church right now. And let that desire, Father God, to rise up, to come back and worship you at this altar. We thank you once again for all you do. Bless your people. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Join us next time for another uplifting message. If you'd like to support this ministry and the reaching out of others, you have the opportunity to give at rockofagesaog.org/give.